You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Thank you.
The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, how about that opening hour tonight, Saturday, September the 7th, with David Duke and Kevin McDonald opening the program as we continue to broadcast live tonight from Alabama on the wake of the 2019 League of the South National Conference. It's been a great weekend in Alabama. It's always great to be amongst our Southern people in the rural South. I'm James Edwards, and I have an embarrassment of riches here in our remote broadcast location this evening. Dr. Adrian Krieg is back with us, who was last with us about a year ago at this very same event and this very same setup. Also, Rick Tyler, presidential candidate who was the master of ceremonies for the event this weekend, which means that he basically kept the trains rolling, and he introduced the speakers and did all sorts of announcements and did a great job doing it. He is as loquacious as I've ever seen, and he has a wonderful vocabulary, wonderful delivery. Rick Tyler will be back with us here in just a few minutes. But first, Dr. Krieg, who is the proprietor there at A2Z Publications. That's the letter A, the numeral 2, the letter Z, A2Z Publications.com. There you can find his radio program, his many books. I've got a catalog here, the 2019 catalog from Adrian Krieg. How many books you got, Dr. Krieg?
34.
34 books. This man literally never stops writing. And he has just a fantastic wit. He's a great guy, and it's always fun to have him on the show. What are your reflections and takeaways from the conference and from the weekend you've spent here in Alabama, Dr. Krieg?
Well, it was very similar to last year. I think we had a few more people than last year. I think the conference was good. The speakers were phenomenal. Rick was really good. You were excellent.
Oh, what the?
You were absolutely excellent. And I think, you know, it's difficult for me because I live in Florida, about halfway between Tampa and Sarasota. And
That's interesting.
I will say that I live in a bastion of liberal, leftist.
Yeah, they're down there in that Naples area. You know, I know that area of Florida pretty well. I go down to Sanibel every year. We've gone down there for the last few years. I was actually reading, I made mention of in my talk today, I read a lot of history, and I was reading not long ago about the Colusa Indians, which are native to that particular part of Florida. So I know that part of Florida well.
Yeah, it's distressing. In the community that I live in, it's pretty conservative, you know. I would say mostly Republican, but to me, the Republican and the Democrat Party are just two paddles on a on a canoe, you know?
Well, they are, and that actually would lead me to my next question. Where does Western man stand this evening? You know, throughout our ancestral
right.
homelands.
Listen,
I wish it was television, not radio, so you could see the the physical reaction to Dr. Krieg to that question. But where are we at?
I was born in Switzerland, and my hometown is Zurich. Switzerland now has 30% foreigners. They commit probably 90% of all crime. It's just, indicative of what's happened here. America had a census in 2010, and it's interesting because I was a census taker, both group and individual. And the first thing that happened when we were to do a census is we had to go to classes to learn how to do the count. And in the first class, we were told that you will count everyone. Everyone from 3 months and older, you're not allowed to ask about citizenship. It was an Obama-constructed census. And, of course, the census count at that time came up with 307,000. However, about 307 million, about, I would have to say, 30 million to 35 million were not citizens. We counted illegals, legals, green card holders. They had us go.
Pets?
No, but children over 3 months old. Now, census is in order to make a determination how congressional districts are set up. How can you count children that will not be able to vote in the coming, until the coming next census? And so they've counted all these children. There's millions of them, which is just fake. They shouldn't be counted as citizens because they can't vote. They counted UN employees, consular officers, foreign consular officers, everything. And then they had us go to hospitals. Now, this is really interesting. This was group counts, hospitals, military barracks, state police barracks. And they told us, here's a specific date, and on this date, you will pull up the records and do a count. Well, the average stay in a hospital is 3 days. All of these people were then double counted. They were counted when we did the count, and then they went home and they were counted again. So the whole census was bogus, and it was to change the demographics of the country in order to increase Democrat votes. And they did that also in New Hampshire, where I used to live, by importing people from Massachusetts in massive numbers. They've done it in California. From 1 to 10 million Mexicans. They had 1 million before they started this. Now they have 10 million. Most of them vote. In California, when you sign up for a driver's license, they automatically add you onto the voter lists. They don't ask if you're a citizen or not. So this entire census was simply used to increase congressional districts. I have just one short thing to say about that. Maxine Waters' congressional district is supposed to have 711,000 people. But of the people in her district, 200,000 are not citizens of this country. They have done this in 50 cases throughout the states. So we have 50 Democrat representatives in the House of Representatives who shouldn't be there.
So you're saying if an accurate census was taken, we could shed ourselves from some of these Congress critters.
Absolutely.
That's it. You know what? That is the first time, Dr. Krieg, I've ever heard that put forth. Wow. Huh, that's something to wrap your mind around. We got to take a break. Dr. Adrian Krieg, A2Z, publications.com. Check him out, won't you? And we'll try to have him back on before the end of the night. We got Rick Tyler coming up next, though.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Well, the hits just keep on coming tonight. I want to thank again Dr. Adrian Cree. We've had nothing but doctors tonight, thankfully. I finally got somebody I can relate to here with Rick Tyler, Layman. No, hey, that's a compliment. No, I'm all about Rick Tyler is actually one of the, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart with the utmost sincerity. Rick is actually one of the most well-spoken and thoughtful people we have ever featured on this show. It's great to have him back tonight as well. He has served as the master of ceremonies, the MC, for the 2019 League of the South National Conference, and he did a great job of orchestrating and conducting this whole thing yesterday and today. And he's with us again tonight, presidential candidate that he is. Rick, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great, James, and it's a pleasure and an honor to be here. It was another one of those great weekends. They just don't last long enough. I think we need to start holding week-long conferences.
Let's start one that never ends and call it an ethno state. But no, it has been fantastic. They always go by far too quickly, as does each and every broadcast. I was just talking with y'all during the commercial break and saying that, you know, this is one of the almost unfathomable shows where we come in with no agenda, no outline, no notes, no nothing to guide us. But it always ends up being one of the best shows of the year because we just feed off the talent that surrounds us. And these thoughtful people make for, of course, thoughtful radio. And we've certainly surrounded ourselves with thoughtful people this weekend and even on the air tonight with Duke McDonald Krieg. I know David will be back with us again. We're still waiting for Michael Hill and some others that will still be forthcoming. But Rick, we are broadcasting, of course, from the League of the South Conference, and I know we've touched on that, we've mentioned it, we've had a few minutes here and there where we share reflections and observations from the event, but let's do a little bit deeper dive this segment, if we could, on exactly what those who are tuned in tonight who were not here with us in Alabama missed.
Well, this was a very important, pivotal event for the League of the South, because ever since Charlottesville, you know, the League of the South was right on the front lines. And they made an excellent showing at Charlottesville, but they also took some hits, some serious hits. And so since Charlottesville, there's been a lot of fallout. There's been a lot of, aftermath type, you know, consequences and results that have come to pass. Everything from, you know, league members unfortunately being unjustly prosecuted for the DeAndre Harris incident and being given rather draconian lengthy prison sentences, legal machinations marshaled against the league, which they've handled well, to my understanding. I'm not speaking for them, but just, you know, from what my peripheral understanding is. And, of course, invariably, anytime you've got a big organization, even if it's just some benign civil organization, there's going to be, internal strife within any organization. And when you're under pressure and when you're in the crosshairs, like the League of the South is in so many ways, especially in the wake of Charlottesville, then you have the issue of internal disputations potentially. And I think, you know, we would be naive to think that those types of things maybe haven't gone on to some extent. Dr. Hill, of course, has been skillful at the helm of the League of the South. He's continued to lead the organization masterfully and artfully. But this event, being an annual event, it's very, very critical. It's very important that you put on a good event, that you rally your troops, that you get everybody, the batteries recharged, get everybody fired up, and keep everybody very much in the understanding that, hey, we're moving forward. We've got an agenda. We know what we're doing. Yeah, we've taken some lumps. We've taken some hits. But, you know, we're moving forward, and things are as exciting and as vibrant as ever. And I think this event this weekend did underscore that point. That was what I take away from it, first of all.
In addition to being the master of ceremonies, you also were a speaker. And you gave a fantastic talk this morning. Talk a little bit. Well, actually, I should say, no, first I want to ask you this. I do want to ask you to share with the audience that which you imparted to the crowd here assembled in Alabama. Let's get to that next. First, though, before we do that, share with the audience the spirit that was quite palpable here amongst those attended.
Well, there was an atmosphere of cohesion. It was a very unified type sensation that I had at the event. I didn't sense any division or any strife or contention. Everybody seemed to be on the same wavelength, understanding that our backs are to the wall, but we have barely scratched the surface of our cumulative and collective talent and resources and abilities as a people. And sometimes adversity is what it takes to breed the type of response that's necessary to ratchet us up as a people to the next plateau, the next level that we need to operate from. And I think that that's what's going on here too as well.
Well, that's actually something that I said in my address today, is that without adversity, we hardly know whether or not we're honest. I mean, you have to be tempered by the fires of adversity in order to be molded into something better. And so we need that. And in fact, I don't want to be morbid, and I don't want to wish this as a father upon our people, upon myself or my wife or my children or our extended family, which is, of course, what our race is. But perhaps, you know, one of the things that's been lacking amongst whites in America and in Western Europe, not so much in Eastern Europe recently, has been suffering. And perhaps we do need to suffer a little bit more in order to become better versions of ourselves. Now, those of us in this cause have suffered some. It certainly pales in comparison to that which our ancestors suffered and sacrificed. But we know a little bit more than the layman about, what might be forthcoming. But anyway, that's just an aside. Now, share with them more about what was contained in your address today.
Well, you know, I really would have loved to have been able to go into greater detail in that address, because it is such a complex yet vital subject matter. It's the subject of the territorial imperative. Now, our movement has batted this around and bandied it about endlessly, since the beginning of the movement. You know, the need, the necessity to have a territorial bastion of strength. And, of course, there have been disagreements about geographically where the best place to try to do that would be. But more than ever now, I think we really are coming to the point where we've got to really thoroughly and systematically examine this question and decide, as a movement, those who are capable of understanding this concept, make some decisions as to what can be done to translate it into a reality. In other words, not just the hypothetical, theoretical. The territorial imperative, in a nutshell, I have for 25 years off and on written about what I call Republica. The liberals, the New Agers, they used to call the Pacific Northwest up in Oregon and Washington State near Seattle, Ecotopia. you know. And so I say, well, let's have Republica. And how about, you know, where I am in Polk County, Tennessee, which I believe I can build a case that Polk County, Tennessee is one of the best places that we could focus our energies on. You know, what if we were like the fundamentalist Christians who, you know, marshal all these resources to send missionaries to Africa, except we do it to a Whitopia, virtually all white county, you know, in the mountains of southeastern Tennessee, you know, bordering North Georgia and North Carolina, you know, an extreme bastion of conservatism, a very anti-federale type mentality there. I mean, it's got so much going for it. And so that was my talk today. I tried to, you know, kind of round it out by talking about Polk County, Tennessee. And I'm open to other suggestions, and I did get a few after my talk. But Polk County, Tennessee is a possible place where we can establish a literal bastion of strength as a bunch of people who understand racial truth and the JQ, and, you know, translate it into reality in terms of exerting influence geopolitically at the county level.
Folks, you can hear the passion and the vigor and Rick's voice that came across quite well today. One of the reasons why you always make for such an eloquent and effective spokesman and such a great radio guest is that you do come across well with the spoken word, and that is an art form.
Well, communication is so fundamental and so important, and, you know, obviously look what a good communicator can do. Ronald Reagan was known as the great communicator. And you
I wish
know,
he'd done a little more with it.
Well, you know, we know he was a phony conservative, but he was a great communicator. He had the ability to make people feel comfortable listening to these ideas that he was projecting.
Well, you project them better, so let's hope perhaps you'll be the next president. I can vote for you here in Tennessee, and it's a very easy state to get ballot access on. I voted for you for governor last year. So anyway, we'll be right back with Rick Tyler, David Duke on deck as well. Stay tuned, everybody. We're coming back to you.
Exposing
Alabama.
Corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The U.S. is coming to the aid of Dorian survivors, rescuing almost 300 people in the Bahamas. Search and rescue teams still haven't reached some of the hard-hit communities there. Aid organizations are bringing in supplies. Volunteer Dion Clear.
We're providing much-needed water, food, baby diapers and wipes, and just all around anything that they need. We're also helping evacuate people off the island, getting them back into Nassau for those people who have no place to live.
The main highway out of Freeport heading east to the hardest-hit areas has been completely destroyed. Most of the vehicles have been left behind with nowhere to drive. The death toll in the Bahamas is at 43, but it's expected to rise. Dorian is now weaker and heading toward Nova Scotia. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
The government's August job report falls short of some expectations. USA's Chris Barnes has more from Washington.
Some see it as another possible sign the U.S. economy is slowing. Others say that it's no big deal, that the jobs report shows around 130,000 new jobs added in August, when most analysts were predicting there would be about 160,000 jobs created. Wage growth remained solid, and the unemployment rate stayed the same at 3.7%. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Republican leaders in South Carolina and Kansas have voted to scrap their presidential nominating contest in 2020, while party officials in Nevada are deciding whether to follow suit. The GOP is erecting more hurdles for the long-shot candidates challenging President Trump that would allow the president to consolidate his support. Democrats are working to shrink their large field of candidates. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right. All right, back with you tonight as TPC is on the road this evening in rural southern Alabama on the heels of the 2019 League of the South National Conference. Broadcasting remotely, I am James Edwards. Rick Tyler continues to be our guest this hour, and we've had some fantastic guests this evening. More to come. It's hard to believe that the show is now, at this very minute, only half over. So still much more to come. As always with any show, some of the very best parts of every given broadcast of TPC happen during the commercial breaks. And so this installment is no exception. Rick and I were talking during the break about a media project that we both had a hand in one way or another, a pretty prominent media project. I don't know exactly what we can say about it, but I'll let Rick take it from there and tell you what he believes we can say about it.
Well, James, it really is fascinating because this media project, it involves a major household name media entity, and it was a project that myself and Sam Dixon and Richard Spencer, the three of us participated in the filming of a model-type production that could serve as the template, let's say, for a regular reality type TV program in 2020. Now, this major media entity, obviously, they understand that white nationalism is a hot button buzzword type issue. They understand that it has the potential, to be milked, for a lot of, publicity and interest and ratings and viewership, etc. And of course, needless to say, the deck would be totally stacked against us, save for the fact that we have the truth and our enemies don't. And so when you know how to wield the broadsword of truth and you're in possession of the truth, in sufficient quantity, you can overcome these odds and you can hit a lick for truth, that will take the enemy by surprise, quite frankly. And of course, sometimes, too, I'm a man of faith. James, I know you are, too. Sometimes God puts a stupor on these people and he makes them do dumb things that, frankly, play right into our hand. They think that they're getting the best of us, but in reality, God has another plan. And, if that be the case, so be it. They want to use us. Well, hey, I'm perfectly willing to let them use me so that the cause of truth can use them. And of course, doing everything in a professional spirit, of dignity and gentlemanliness, like we, like to put that, best foot forward. At any rate, this project did happen some months ago. We were actually brought in from out of town, from long distances, and we went into the belly of the beast, so to speak. It was interesting to see, this type of production facility and all the bells and whistles. And I must say, they were totally professional and they were very, very accommodating. Obviously, again, they're trying to make money, and all of the underlings, the people, in the project, they're all doing their job, collecting their paycheck. And if this thing does happen in 2020, of course, it'll tie in with the presidential season. If it happens, it could really be an incredible bonanza, in terms of giving us exposure, while at the same time, we know they'll try to exploit us.
All right, so people are probably asking, well, I know Rick appeared on it. What the hell did you do about it, James? What was your involvement? Well, the producers of this particular broadcast had asked me to come on, and I don't want to give away what the topic of the program was, but after understanding what the topic was, I said, well, honestly, for this particular topic, there are other people better suited than me to provide the dissenting voice on this issue. And if you're looking for clowns to come on, people that you can parody, you can keep looking. But if you are serious on about putting forth two sides of a hot button topic, I can give you some recommendations. And it was as a result of some of my recommendations that the particular panel that was picked was picked. Especially, they were already looking at you, Rick, but especially one of the other people you mentioned was not on the list, who I was able to help get a seat on that particular panel. Now, and so that was our involvement. The royal R, I guess you could say. But do you think, now this is a pilot for this particular broadcast, for this particular network, do you think it gets aired? And clever editing and, you know, some of the monkey shines that they can do in post-production with lighting and music. I mean, I talked to an actor friend of mine in the UK, and he says, you know, basically anything can be changed with adequate lighting and music. You were there. You were there for the taping. Do you think there's any way, under any circumstances, that this thing actually airs? And how well do you think that our side did in that particular debate?
Well, this particular production won't air. It was just simply a model. It was an experiment. It was a template. If, you know, this is the way these things work. And bear in mind, if I sound kind of vague and generic, it's because we have non-disclosure type, you know, agreements we've signed. We can't give any specifics about this. But in a generic sense, most people know that, you know, like a sitcom from the 60s or from, you know, later decades, they will do a pilot program. And then, you know, if the higher-ups in the organization like it, then they'll go with a variation of what the pilot was, what the template production was. They'll say, well, you know, I like this, but we ought to do, you know, this way, you know, on that aspect of it. And they'll modify it, they'll tweak it, they'll fine-tune it. Now, so the thing that we taped won't air under any circumstances, but if it is accepted.
That is not what I understood, actually. Now, I may have been told differently than you, but I was told that if it is picked up, that this will be the pilot. That's what I was told. Now, I don't know. I mean, again, you certainly had more probably experience with this particular crew than I did. But what my understanding was this is not was some experiment that if this show was greenlighted, that this would be an episode that was going to be put forth.
I didn't understand it that way, but I could be wrong. But I think,
certainly I could be wrong as well.
Yeah, I think that what it will be, it will just serve as the model. If they sell it to the execs and they get the go-ahead, then they will go full speed ahead with the production of a regular program that would be like, you know, weekly or whatever. And like a reality-type show format where people, you know, they like the old days, they string people along waiting for the next episode, you know, and have some drama and, you know, some theatrical-type aspects.
Well, I mean, if you're right and I'm wrong, and again, I'm just going by what I was told, and I asked pretty specific questions. But I will tell you that for a pilot, they could do really no better than having this panel from our side versus this. I mean, that would be made for TV. I mean, if you're talking about ratings, I mean, that is the genuine article right there.
Well, here's where being there, what I can't talk about would be revelatory because, you know, just and I'm not a producer of productions like this, but just from the layman standpoint of and being involved in it. There were some pretty serious glitches, you know, not in terms of the actual professionalism of it, but there were things that if I were sitting back, you know, looking at it, I would say, okay, now when we do the real thing, let's make sure that, you know, this aspect of it is done this way versus the way it was done, you know.
I guess we'll see.
It's got incredible potential. And let me tell you something with my –
well, they filmed it.
With my, you know, third-party candidacy for the presidency in 2020 – it could really be interesting dovetailing with that.
Hey, they've got it in the can. I guess they can use it or not use it. And, of course, this is true of anyone who has done any media. And I've done a lot of media, and I've done reality shows, and I've done things where I tape for 8 hours and 30 seconds of it are used. And you talk with, you know, actors who appear in movies, and they have a character that's completely cut out of the final film. So you really do never know what's going to happen, even if you're giving all the guarantees. But if, and we know that God's goodwill guides all, if this is scheduled to debut in 2020 with the political climate being what it is, and you being the third-party candidate, and Trump and the Democrats and the Charlottesville, I mean, it's a perfect storm. It'd be hard for them, I think, to keep it in the can, but we'll see.
I think. I have a cynical
theory. Unless y'all just did so well that they can't possibly air it, which is entirely possible.
Well, see, that ties into my cynical theory. I believe that the enemy wants the public to become more frightened of us. And that will happen if they present us in a way or allow us to gain the exposure that makes a lot more people realize, hey, you know what? These guys really do need to be taken seriously because they don't have a third eye in the middle of their forehead. They're not, you know, some, you know, caricature. They really are people who could very readily and easily take the helm and lead this country in the right direction.
If they put too much forth from you and Sam and Richard without clever editing, it's going to be hard for that not to become something that people latch on to. Perhaps they will redo that particular episode, but with Jerry Springer's Klansman from Central Casting there in the roles, as he would always do. So I guess that remains to be seen. But nevertheless, it just does go to show that there are interesting stories behind the scenes that from time to time we like to share here on TVC. We got another break coming up. Still much more to come from Alabama tonight. We got an hour and change still remaining in tonight's broadcast. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-7425. 6397.
All right, one more segment with Rick Tyler, and then we're going to get back to David Duke and perhaps even Dr. Michael Hill. Now, you understand this is the League of the South 2019 National Conference, so, you know, Dr. Hill's being pulled in all different directions, but we'll see if we can cajole him to come up here. I think we have pretty good odds at that. But in any event, Rick, let's round out this hour. What shall we and what should we talk about?
Well, getting back to that subject of needing to do more than, you know, collectively speaking as a people and as a movement, what we've done heretofore, because, you know, we've held a lot of great events and there have been all kinds of great podcasts and broadcasts and a lot of great things have been done.
And they need to be done.
Yeah.
And they're essential, but we haven't quite turned the rudder just yet.
Now, imagine, hypothetically. A county like Polk County, Tennessee, 16,000 population, one of the largest territorially in the state of Tennessee. And I hopefully don't need to remind people of how important the state of Tennessee is. You know, it's the state, you know, that brought us Nathan Bedford Forrest and Andrew Jackson and Davy Crockett, guys like that. It, of course, right at this present moment in time, it's a very active state in terms of our movement. And really importantly, though, among southern states, demographically, Tennessee has fewer non-whites than the other southern states. So, you know, we've got the better prospect of establishing a Whitopia, an area, a county. Now, there are 3,000.
Yeah, I think Tennessee went, what, 70% for Trump?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just it's in the bag.
So there's 3,142 counties or the equivalent thereof in our country, and I say we need to take one county. And we need to basically, in effect, have a secession movement at the county level. Because if we could ever, either literally or, you know, so figuratively that it was almost palpable and literal, secede in a county, i.e. take control of the levers of political power, we're not talking about anything shady. We're talking about everything above board. I've been in Polk County myself intermittently for 25 years. I've had a successful restaurant there, the most successful restaurant in the county at one time until I was boycotted and sustained, you know, tremendous hardship from that. But we've made a lot of friends there. We've got credibility. We've got a good reputation. There are plenty of people that hate us as well. But the indigenous population there, the white people that live there, Polk County has the reputation of being the most racially minded county in the state historically. And that's saying a lot for Tennessee, by the way. Polk County is very in the minds of, you know, the general public throughout Tennessee, a very racist county. Well, hey, that's great material for us to work with. There already are a lot of people who have just kind of quietly come there. From different locations. And if we were to be able, you know, gin up a lot of excitement about this project, if people couldn't literally move there themselves or invest in land, they could, you know, financially get involved. There's thousands and thousands of acres available at really good price. It's primo real estate. We've got mountains. We've got rivers. It's such a great place. And so if we could induce a migratory influx of a couple thousand people. And this isn't a pipe dream, James. This could happen. A couple thousand people over the next few years move to Polk County. We become a genuine force to be reckoned with at that point.
All right,
possibly.
So what happens if, now we know that there was the guy whose name escapes me in North Dakota.
Fred Cobb.
All right, so he tried this reason. You know, what prevents this hypothetical scenario from meeting the end of Craig Cobb?
We are as far on the other end of the spectrum in terms of tactics and the way this would be done.
I'm not opposed to the idea.
From
let me
Craig
just
Cobb
say,
as we but could possibly be. I don't know Craig Cobb. I've listened to him. He sounds like a sharp guy. But I will say this, from a tactical standpoint, the way he went about his endeavor was all wrong. He needed, you know, schooling in tactics 101, methodologies 101. He was lacking in terms of that ability. He meant well. He's a very smart guy, I'm sure. We would be the antithesis of what Craig Cobb did in terms of the impression that he made on the community. We've already made a very good impression on the community.
All right, that's fair enough. Now, not even George Wallace could withstand the federal government, so or Lester Maddox. How does this hypothetical county, whether it be where you're at or elsewhere, withstand what's going to come if they try to do something sensible?
Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 29, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever trusteth in the Lord shall be safe. George Wallace buckled at the knees. If George Wallace had stood firmly in that doorway and said no to the feds, if he had then said,
I wish he would have.
If he had said to all of the men of the South, men, I want you to come to Montgomery, Alabama, and bring your guns and ammo. We're going to make a stand against federal tyranny. My dad would have gone. You know, he was a big Wallace man back in the late 60s. And probably a million men, white men, from around the country would have gone to Montgomery and stood with Governor Wallace.
At that time and in that day and age.
Right. So fast forward, 2019, 20, 21, whatever, 22. We're in Polk County, Tennessee. We've got this thing going on. It's become an exciting type lightning rod situation for our people and for the enemy. And we're becoming so successful at it. We are literally taking the levers of power in the county. Hypothetically, let's say we elect our own sheriff, a very level-headed Richard Mack type guy, not Richard Mack, because obviously he doesn't go the full distance into hardcore truth, but somebody who understands a constitutional sheriff concept, but who is willing to address the full spectrum of truth, the JQ, racial truth, you know, all of the issues. And now the enemy says, okay, we got to wipe these guys out. We've got to just do this thing. We got to rip the rug out from under them. Now we force them into the mode of being the reactionary, don't we? And now we've got them right where God wants them to be able to deal with them and possibly make a real David and Goliath type situation where Goliath looks at David and says, who is this, you know, little nobody who thinks that he can dare stand up to the mighty Goliath? And he winds up losing his head very shortly thereafter. Now, had it not been for divine intervention and divine protection and empowerment, it wouldn't have worked. But that's what the Bible is full of. And not just the scripture, but our own history is full of these, unique moments in history where the right cast of characters is on the stage and the right circumstances comes to fruition, and lo and behold, the pages of history, you know, transition into something victorious for our cause.
Well, you know, it is helpful to dream, and it's wonderful to hope. And I think that it is good to try whatever mechanisms are available to us. Of course, you got to wonder, you know, do they nuke that hypothetical county? I mean, which they could certainly do, and I don't think they would feel quite bad about it. But at the same time, I mean, but you are putting forth something for consideration, a discussion, an alternative. And I think anything, everything, throw the kitchen sink at this problem, and it's better than continuing to go down the slow and steady decline that we've been on.
And look what could hypothetically and theoretically and potentially happen. You know, what if they do blink? You know, what if they stumble? What if they pause? And then something, you know, really extraordinary and singularly unique comes to pass. And then it begins to become contagious in other counties. You know how things happen that way. You know, when somebody has a good idea, very quickly others replicate it and it can spread like a prairie fire. Now, you know, where there's no vision, the people perish. That's also in Proverbs 29. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We're talking about keeping God's law of kind after kind. We're talking about saying, you know what? We're not going to let you, evil government, force us into miscegenation and force us into allowing the heathen gods of our enemies to take over. We're not going to allow an Islamic mosque in this county. We're not going to allow Jewish synagogues. We're not going to allow these things, which are an abomination to the God of our founding fathers. And, you know, God might just honor that kind of stand. I know, James, in my lifetime, I haven't seen this kind of stand taken. And I think, yeah, it might get us all killed. I'll acknowledge that. You know, that sounds
well,
radical.
What did we hear today? A coward dies a thousand deaths, but what was the rest of it? A brave man dies once.
Right. And Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. If you're willing to lose it, you'll save it unto life eternal. That's my paraphrase of the scripture.
Huh.
But it is true. You know, the thing that we live in fear of, very often God will allow that to come upon us just, you know, because we are sinning by allowing fear to control our actions.
All right. That is a very fascinating, again, very hypothetical observation, solution, suggestion. You're running for president. Perhaps you should be running for county governor or county mayor. But in any event, how can people learn more about your work, Rick, and support your endeavors?
Well, my website that's most easy to get to and prominent as far as search engine results is my Rick Tyler for Congress website. I also have RickTylerForPresident.com, RickTylerForCongress.com. Here, very shortly, God willing, we're going to be, ramping things up quite a bit. I've talked to you before, James, about the university speaking tour project. I did go to the University of Tennessee at Knoxville on May 28th, had a very successful event, got excellent coverage. I have a man right now who's working with the party, and he's doing research with all the universities on where we can get bookings and book the auditoriums where they don't have prohibitive policies.
There's going to be a lot coming up from you. between now and next November.
It could get really, really exciting right into 2020, you know, the thick of the presidential season. That's what we're hoping for. You know, when you go to these universities, they just simply can't ignore it. They can't help, you know, but cover it. And, of course, it reeks of credibility and prestige, and you let the enemy – what is it? There's some martial art form where you take the blows of the enemy and you, you know, translate them into benefits for yourself. We do that with our enemies. I did that at University of Tennessee at Knoxville. I let them be on full display in all of their ugly, you know, fashion, and it worked great. Juxtaposed against them, you know, I looked really good. And, of course, that's what we want. We want to defy that caricature that they've tried to create of us. And by going onto the university campus and presenting an eloquent, articulate presentation of the truth, you can't help but cause eyebrows to raise and people to sit up and take notice. And, you know, who knows? I mean, truth is powerful. Like I said in my talk today, it's the most powerful force in the universe.
Rick Tyler, everyone. Rick Tyler for Congress. And what's the other website?
RickTylerForPresident.com.
There you go. And what a great guest he's been tonight. Rick, thank you so much for your friendship, for your involvement tonight in tonight's broadcast, and for your emceeing of the event here that we've been a part of for the last couple of days in Alabama. We'll be back third hour up next. Stay tuned.
Radio Network.